Jay Timmons joins us on the program this morning. He's the CEO of the National Association of Manufacturers. Jay, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. How you doing?
We're doing well, enjoying some little bit cooler weather down here in Texas. You're calling from Virginia, right?
Yeah, but we're going to be in the 80s today, so we're not far behind you, but I guess 91 is a little cooler for you at this time of year.
Well, it really is. We're enjoying a break, and hopefully we're over that hump and headed towards fall. Really, there's only two seasons here in Texas, hot and cold, but every once in a while we get to land in the middle for a couple of days.
Yeah, well, coming from the north, I'll take the hot.
Yeah, I bet you will. I bet so. All right, so you've been following this export-import bank debacle, if you want to call it that. Congress, I guess, seems to just continue to punt the ball down the road and leave everybody in limbo. But before we dive into your side of the story, back up and give us the core basics of what the bank is and what it means to American workers, basically.
Absolutely. It's a bank that most people have never heard of. And quite frankly, that's why it's not getting the attention it deserves. But it is an institution in our government that is absolutely vital to supporting jobs right here at home and exports of our products overseas. The bank finances, actually guarantees financing of projects that are large and expensive, but most importantly, that provide literally hundreds of thousands, actually 1.5 million jobs to Americans. And Congress has been in, like so many issues, has been in a crazy partisan battle on this, philosophical battle, and they've let the bank expire. And at risk are jobs all over the country, tons of jobs in Texas alone. There's over 135,000 jobs that are supported in Texas because of the bank, $21 billion of exports. So this is a pretty important institution in the federal government, and one that we just can't afford to see let expire.
So let me see if I understand this correctly. Let's say I discover and uncover a market for widgets in Botswana, and I decide,
yep,
you know what, I can make these widgets and I can fill this need over there and I can create some jobs here, but I got to have some financing. I could go to that bank and get the financing that I need to develop the product, but then also export it to Botswana so that I can make a whole bunch of money.
Well, generally, yes. You left out one step. First, you're going to try to find out if you can get private financing. Now, a lot of the restrictions that our government has put on our banks will not allow the banks to finance your project. So you're going to need some sort of a credit guarantee from a government-backed institution, and that's what the Ex-Im Bank would do. It would allow you to finance or to guarantee the financing of the purchaser of your widgets, and then allow your employees, assuming you have a very large order, you're going to hire more people to make those widgets, and then you're going to ship those widgets over to Botswana or whatever country we might be talking about. That's how the bank helps support the economy. That's how the bank helps create jobs right here in the United States. If you're not making those widgets in Texas, then somebody else somewhere around the world is going to make those widgets, and they're going to sell them to Botswana. And there are 60 other countries that have export credit financing agencies to do exactly what our Ex-Im Bank used to be able to do. So we're going to lose that. Texas is going to lose that deal to some other country, whether that's Germany or France or Japan or China. So it's crucial, if we want to keep these jobs right here at home, that we get that bank reauthorized.
One of the arguments against reauthorizing the Export-Import Bank has been that we shouldn't have a need for the Export-Import Bank. We should reduce regulations on manufacturers and businesses that would allow them to operate more efficiently where they didn't need to rely on something like the Export-Import Bank. What would your response to that argument be?
Well, I tell you what. As soon as Congress reduces those burdens, as soon as they eliminate a good chunk of the 2,000 regulations that every manufacturer has been dealt over the last 30 years, then we can have that conversation. But what you don't want to do is you don't want to take away the one thing that the government does that's good for manufacturing, without taking away the thousands of things that trip us up every single day. So I'm not going to disagree with that. I'm not going to say that we shouldn't get rid of red tape and regulation and oppressive taxation on manufacturers to make them more competitive. But my point is going to be, in response to that, we'll do that first, and then let's talk about whether we still need the bank.
I've worked at a manufacturing facility before. I know what manufacturers have to go through when you're dealing with things like OSHA. And, of course, we were a pharmaceutical manufacturer, so we had to deal with the FDA and the health department.
You got hit
as well.
from every direction.
I remember OSHA, they would come in, they would look for things. And we had a door that led to a hallway. Now, there's nothing in this hallway. There are no other doors in this hallway. This hallway is basically a glorified closet. We had some material stacked in front of that door where you couldn't access this hall to nowhere, and we were fined $18,000 for blocking an emergency exit.
And what did that mean to your company, that $18,000, and just add on more and more costs that are imposed on manufacturers? Just add that up, and that equals a job. That equals two jobs.
Would the elimination of red tape really eliminate the need for the export-import bank, or is that a ghost argument to begin with?
Look, I think it's a straw man argument. I think that, you know, there are $2 trillion worth of regulations right now in American businesses. Now, nobody is going to say that in a free market economy we shouldn't have regulations in order to promote safety and clean air and clean water. You've got to have a certain amount of regulations, and yes, they're going to cost your businesses some dollars. We believe that there have to be sensible, balanced, transparent regulations that take into account the economic impact and the impact on the lives and livelihoods of Americans. But regardless if you have that, if we had that type of regulatory reform, which again, you know, hands up, we support that, the EXIM Bank is critical for a few other reasons. Some countries and some projects will not allow a company to bid unless there is government-financed export credits, or government-backed, I should say, export credits. So we've actually already lost out. When I say we, I'm talking about companies all across the country, have already lost out on numerous projects around the world because our other competitors from other countries have export credit agencies that are backing their loans while we don't. So, yes, there is still a need for that. Because of requirements of certain projects in certain countries.
What's the future look like? I mean, any indication from a majority on either side in Congress as to what's going to happen?
You know, that's a great question, and it's actually the answer to that is an indication of the extreme dysfunction that we have in the United States Congress right now. And quite frankly, guys, we need Americans to rise up and call their members of Congress and call their United States senators and demand action on the EXIM Bank. There was a vote that occurred in the United States Senate where EXIM was attached to a long-term highway reauthorization bill. Over two-thirds of the United States Senate voted in favor of EXIM reauthorization, so we know the support is there. In the House, we know that we have well over a majority, if not two-thirds, support in the House. But there's a small, narrow group of ideological purists who are saying, we're not going to let that bill come up for a vote. If that bill gets to the floor, and it's the same bill in the House and the Senate, it's going to pass. It's going to pass overwhelmingly. The president will sign it, and the bank will be back into business, and we will protect and preserve 1.5 million jobs in this country. Getting members of Congress to do that is, unless they're hearing from their constituents, There's no pressure to do that. Mike Conway, your member of Congress at home, needs to hear from you. And Congressman Conway,
do you know what his stance is on this?
I do not know off the top of my head, but I do know Congressman Conway. I know he cares about the people of his district, and I know he cares about jobs at home. So my assumption is that he would be supportive of the bank if it ever got to the floor for a vote. But what we need Congressman Conway to do is to call the leadership of the House, the Speaker, the Majority Leader, and say, my people want a vote on this. I want to vote on this, and I want to vote yes on it. Only through his constituents calling him and encouraging him to do that is he going to be able to prioritize this very important issue. There are tons of other things happening in Congress right now. We need to break through all that clutter and get the Ex-Im Bank voted on.
You mentioned, we got about a minute and a half left. You mentioned the dysfunction of Congress right now, and I think one of the biggest problems was something you pointed out, and that is the fact that this bill, the Ex-Im Bank, being attached to a highway funding bill. To me, it needs to be, everything needs to be separate. Members of Congress need to be able to vote on one thing. And I understand that may slow everything down, but maybe that means we're not putting so much legislation out there. But I think when you start attaching things that are not related, it muddies the water up and it makes it real difficult. And I think it's just a horrible way of trying to govern, in my opinion.
It confuses the issue. There's no doubt about that. Obviously, we're going to support any vehicle necessary to move this, as long as it doesn't hurt manufacturing in a different way. But you're right. It would, again, if this bill was able to get a clean vote in the House and the Senate, it would have well over a majority. It would probably have two-thirds support, and it would become law. The bottom line is the Ex-Im Bank supports 1.5 million jobs across this country. It supports 135,000 jobs in Texas alone. It supports almost 400 jobs in Congressman Conway's district. Companies like Benchmark Research and Tech in Midland and Precision Flow in Odessa, West Tech Steel in Odessa, Winger Machine in San Angelo.
Up against a heartbreak here. I can't, absolutely, and I can't tell you how much we appreciate you taking some time to visit with us on the show this morning.
Well, thank you for the opportunity, and again, folks need to call Congressman Conway, and let's get this done.
All right. Thank you, Jay. Appreciate it. Here's the Osgood Files.